Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in his province, growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Well, thanks for tuning in and helping me grow the game of football in Saskatchewan. I am Michael Ball, and this is the Growing the Game podcast. We got another great show lined up for you. A little later on, we'll hear from Brian Giebert from Football Saskatchewan about some of the top recruits coming out of the North. Also, we'll hear from Kevin McDonald at the CFL office talking about a flag football tournament coming to Regina this Thanksgiving weekend that has big playoff implications at the Grey Cup. Yeah, that's outstanding. Also, we'll hear from Joey Walters, the former Saskatchewan Rough Rider great, Plaza of Honor inductee in 1990, as he joins us in the Where Are They Now segment. But up first, on the phone line, stud quarterback from the Leboldus Golden Suns, the top-ranked quarterback coming out of Saskatchewan here in this graduating class. How are you, Josh?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Nice to talk to you, man. So how does it feel to be guiding a team as they go for their fifth straight championship?
It's good. I mean, the past years, they kind of set the standard for us, and it's just our job to keep it going.
Yeah, now this football team, 4 years running, you're into your fifth year. It looks like it's going to be a bit of a competitive league, though, this year, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of years we've been pretty dominant, and obviously based on the last couple of games we've been in, the rest of the league is kind of catching up to us, but I think we're still a pretty good team, and I think we still got a good chance.
Now, you were a guy that was nicked up a bit in the off season with your throwing arm. How's that progressing right now?
It's still a little banged up. I'm taking care of it and hoping I can get through the season.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. Tell us, if you can, tell us the injury. I'm not real clear on what the injury is. I know it's kind of affected your throwing mechanics. Is it just a case of, was it a case of overuse, or were you hurting a game?
I took a hit last year at the start of the playoffs, and then I think just kind of playing through it, I didn't really think much of it, and then the overuse kind of took its toll on it. I got an MRI done a couple weeks ago, and there's a slight tear in my labrum, so like the back of my shoulder. So I'm going to go see a specialist. Hopefully, just got to keep rehabbing it and taking care of it. I should be all right.
Josh, that's got to be tough to play with an injury like that at the quarterback position when you're on a team that's a lot's expected of.
Yeah, I mean, it's for sure a little toll on myself, but I think if I can keep taking care of it, and then we got a lot of good athletes on the team, so just getting them the ball, I mean, letting them do the work, that's what I got to do.
You know, let's talk a little bit about the leadership on your team. I know high school football, like university football, is cyclical. You got guys coming in and out, but to be winning year after year after year, how do you and the coaches and the other leaders on the team kind of spice things up to kind of keep people invigorated and into it? Because it's got to get monotonous after a while, winning year after year after year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's again, like the recent years have set the standard, and then we're kind of just doing our best so we can keep what they set going. We're kind of playing for them. They got it going. We're playing for them and playing for past years. Anybody that's been at Leboldus is kind of like worried about us and focusing on keeping track of our season, all that sort of stuff. So just that, that is our motivation to keeps it going.
Just kind of a situation where you don't want to be the guy to drop the ball, right? You don't want to be that team that kind of drops the ball where the streak ends.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of, you don't want to be that team. So you're giving it all you got to keep it going.
Josh Donnelly, how long you been playing football for?
Since grade 5.
Wow.
7 years.
And what got you into football?
I had a couple buddies playing, told me to come out. My dad played a bit in high school, so he kind of gave me the go-ahead. So,
Dad was a driving force. Now, we just had Coaches Week come and go. I didn't get a chance to talk to you last week. Is there a coach that comes to mind when you think about Josh Donnelly's career, or a couple of coaches that kind of jump off the map at you that you'd kind of like to recognize and you think about?
Well, Steve Sombach was my RMF coach all the way up. He actually gave me the opportunity to play quarterback and got me rolling. And his decision actually started out on defense, and then he made the move. So I am eternally grateful for that, for him. And then John Ford has been my coach at Lobolis for the last 4 years, so he's been kind of guiding me, helping me grow. Obviously very thankful to be a part of his program.
So wait a minute. You started football as a defensive player?
Yeah, in grade 5, I was on defense, and I wasn't very good, and I really didn't like it. So Steve, the next year, made the move, thought I could throw, and then I kind of took off from there.
What do you like best about quarterback Josh Donnelly?
I like the mental side of the game. I think all the strategy involved, knowing offensive concepts and then defensive coverages and then where to go with the ball, how to attack teams differently, I think that's probably my favorite part of it.
Who do you look up to in the world of football? Is there another guy, like maybe like a Noah Pickton that you lean on? Is there somebody else that you kind of, you know, pick their brain, or somebody you look up to, like even a pro athlete you try to emulate?
Yeah, I mean, Noah Pickton would be a good example for sure. Like, I've watched him playing since he was at Lobolis, kind of got the dynasty going, and then all he's done with the U of R, and I'm in contact with him a bit, just again picking his brain and learning as much as I can from him, as he's obviously a great player.
Yeah.
And then I mean, Tom Brady's probably my favorite quarterback in the NFL. How consistent he's been in the last couple of years and his whole career, I guess, and then how much success he's had, that's just what I'm trying to go after.
Josh Donnelly joining us here from the Lobolis Golden Suns. You guys were a part, or you were a part of the U18 team that went down east and just lost by a sliver to Quebec. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, that was a heartbreaker for sure, but great experience, as it always is. Learn a lot, and you kind of get to see where you stack up against the country's best, so that's always a big thing for me.
Josh, in terms of your playing career after this, what do you hope to accomplish? Where do you hope to go? And maybe what do you plan to do in school?
Not too sure where I'm going yet. I know I want to play football at the university level next. I'm looking towards business admin. But yeah, I'm still trying to figure those details out.
As we wrap up this interview, maybe give a shout out to some of your teammates. I know I've been following your team closely. You got receivers like Camplin and Dom Daly, so you got some pretty good weapons there on offense. Proby is a running back. You're pretty consistent offense.
Yeah, I mean, we got some great athletes. Also, great old line. We got a couple young guys, but always got to give a shout out to those guys. They're keeping me safe up front, and then making holes for our running backs, obviously. And then, yeah, Dom and Ben, both just making me look good as usual. So, shout out to those guys for sure.
That's Josh Donnelly of the Lobolis Golden Suns on Growing the Game. Thanks for this, Josh.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm former writer Chris Best, and you're listening to the Growing the Game podcast.
Well, it's time now to talk about a great CFL-NFL flag that's been coming to Regina this Thanksgiving weekend on Sunday, as the winner of that tournament, which features young kids playing in it, will go to play in a tournament in Ottawa. And we'll talk now with Kevin McDonald, who's the Vice President of Football Operations and Player Safety for the Canadian Football League. Hey, Kevin, thanks for joining the Growing the Game podcast.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks for being on. We've got a big, big thing going on down at Mosaic Stadium tomorrow, the CFL-NFL Flag Championship. Tell us a little bit about it, Kevin.
Well, essentially, it's an opportunity to get young kids involved with our game, used to playing football at a young age, and really just getting some exposure and getting kids out, having fun, playing a sport that we all love. And there's you know, great results and positive results that we've seen from getting kids engaged in our game at a young age.
Yeah, for sure. And, of course, flag football is – I've coached flag football. I've coached tackle football, too. But flag football is good at just teaching them the basics, you know, patterns, throwing, catching, covering the receiver, which, you know, in an environment where safety isn't a big concern in a lot of cases.
Yeah, it's a very easy, safe way to get kids introduced to the basics of our sport. All the things you just mentioned, being part of a team, you know, all the great things that come from playing team sports. This is something that, you know, these skill sets can transfer into tackle football at later ages, can transfer into other sports. It's a basic, so it's running and catching and really just being out and having fun with your friends. And it's been amazing to see the skill level from the first two tournaments we've had. There's been some amazing play and some high-caliber young athletes participating and having a lot of fun doing it.
I've been in on the ground floor almost right from the beginning here in the Regina NFL Flag League, and I think when they started, there was like 75 kids, and the thing now, 11 years later, is over 2,500. Are you amazed at how this kind of sport has grown, and in particular, maybe even in the Regina area?
Not surprised at all. I mean, and there's great leadership there on the ground at Football Saskatchewan, and if you go out and spend some time around any of these events or seeing kids play, you see how much fun they have and really how accessible the game is, right? It's you don't need a lot of kids. You need, you know, 10, 11 kids. You need flags and some pylons, and really the volunteers that make that happen, you know, is commendable. But, you know, once you get introduced to it, you can see how easy it is to get caught up in it and the fun that kids have playing it. I'm not surprised to see the numbers growing the way they have. And that's what we're really hoping for with the launch of this partnership with NFL Canada and the opportunity to kind of roll this out this fall with us looking ahead at next spring and tapping into the leagues that already exist across the amateur framework in Canada, but really using this as a launching point to get ourselves more ingrained at the grassroots level and getting more kids exposed and playing the game.
That is outstanding. And let's get to we'll get to the tournament in a second, but are you concerned at the league level about maybe football's popularity dwindling a little bit just because of concussions and player safety?
We want to see kids playing, and flag gives a very safe introduction to the sport in a non-contact way. And we're going to continue to work with the grassroots, whether it be through flag or through tackle, to make sure that the proper techniques and injury care are all focused on and part of the package once you're introduced to football. So we're hopeful this initiative gives us that opportunity to see participation numbers start to rebound and increase and really get more kids exposed to a very great game.
Okay, Kevin McDonald joining us here from the CFL office as he is talking about this flag football tournament coming to Regina. Now, he's the Vice President of Football Operations and Player Safety. Kevin, tell us about the tournament. You know, the age of the kids, boys, girls, what's taking place here?
We've got a mix. It's boys and girls, age 11 to 12. It's very competitive. You know, it's like I said, the results from the first few weeks we've had so far have been extremely positive. The competition has been quite at a very high level and quite exciting. So, basic rules: there's three downs to each side of the field. Like I said, 5-on-5. It's a lot of passing. There's a bit of running mixed in, but it's really neat to see the skill level these kids are competing in. And really, it's open for anyone. So we're excited for a turnout. Obviously, as you mentioned, the grassroots and flag movement out there is quite strong. So we're expecting some high-caliber play on Sunday.
And it's been received well in other markets you were alluding to right there?
Yeah, we've been in BC and in Edmonton so far, and it's been fantastic. You know, the turnout has been exceptional, and the results and the caliber of play have been fantastic. And we're really excited about, you know, this culminating in a celebration of the teams representing our cities across the country with a chance to the winners from each regional tournament come to Ottawa during Grey Cup week and participate in a big event there. And then the winner from there goes down to Pro Bowl in January, wow. An all-expenses paid trip to Pro Bowl to compete against some U.S. teams during that Pro Bowl week. So we're excited about the opportunities this immediate event provides, but also launching this into something much bigger and more integrated in the spring of 2018.
What's cool here locally, just to wrap up, is you're getting to play in the new Taj Mahal Mosaic Stadium if you're a kid, and there'll be Rider guys hanging around, I'm told. So that's good,
yeah.
Too. You get to kind of show your stuff to the stars.
They're not only going to be playing on the field, the same field as the pros, but they're going to be rubbing elbows with the pros, and some of the guys will be out there on Sunday with the kids. But, yeah, I think that experience, the chance to get out and run out on the field, the same field as the Riders do on game days, will be very exciting and a great opportunity for the kids.
Kevin, were you ever a football guy growing up? You know, and if you were, what are your football memories going back to when you were a kid, maybe watching or playing?
I got introduced to the game. I mean, I loved all sports growing up and watching, but I got introduced to tackle football at the high school level in grade 9, and I was a fan, have been a fan ever since, and fortunate enough to have a university career, a bit of a holiday over in Europe playing for a while, and I was very fortunate to have met some people that brought me to the job here, and 17 years later, I'm still very fortunate to have the privilege to come to work here every day.
And it is Thanksgiving weekend, so just in football terms, what are you most thankful for right now, Kevin, maybe even in your post right now with the CFL?
I think just a chance to be around great people that love this game. And when I say great people, I mean it's the fans that you meet when you get to travel across the country. This time of year is very exciting. We've got the stretch run into the postseason and Grey Cup, and really what this league means to Canadians and how special it is. So I'm thankful for the chance to meet as many fantastic people that support our league and love our league. So I guess that's really what I'm most thankful for in my role here.
Well, we'd like to thank Kevin McDonald, the Vice President of Football Operations and Player Safety with the Canadian Football League, for joining us and growing the game. Thanks for this, Kevin.
Thanks so much.
Rolling right along here on the Growing the Game podcast, Michael Ball joined by Brian Giebert from Saskatoon Minor Football. Now, you might remember that name. He played a handful of years with the Huskies, a bunch of years with the Hilltops, and a couple of years with the Blue Bombers. So, start off with this, Brian. It's Thanksgiving weekend. What are you most thankful for in the world of football?
You know, I'm thankful for the game itself. I'm one of the fortunate ones. I've been in the game my whole life. I found something I loved, and I've been able to trick people into paying me to do it for a big portion of my life, and just give back to a game that's given me so much. So, you know, the game itself is something I'm thankful for, and just what it does for kids and communities.
So, what does it do for kids and communities?
You know, I think there's so much to be said about the game. You know, it's something that fits all shapes and sizes. You know, it's a totally inclusive sport. It's late developing, so you don't have to worry about getting in it too early. It's something you can get into maybe after hockey or after, you know, something else. And it just builds schools, it builds communities. People rally around a football team, and you just learn those virtues like work ethic and teamwork and communication, things that really set you up for life.
Rob Bagg told me when he realized he wasn't going to be the next great NHL defenseman, he decided he'd be a football player at the age of 16. When did Brian Giebert get into the game?
Yeah, you know, I played a few years of tier three hockey and realized that, yeah, the NHL dream, you know, being the next Ray Bourque maybe wasn't going to work out for me. So I got into football. I was fortunate. My uncle was an all-Canadian safety with the Huskies.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of just played enough catch with me as a kid that I said, you know what, this game's pretty cool. And you know, growing up watching the Hilltops and the Huskies, it's just kind of embedded in your blood. And being from Saskatchewan and following the Riders, it's something that we as kids in this province can identify with and fortunately aspire to.
How concerned are you about the state of football in terms of concussions and maybe numbers not where they should be? First off, I guess the first question, how are numbers in Saskatoon at the minor level?
You know, we do still keep continuing to grow. A lot of that's what we're doing with our flag football programming, but our tackle numbers have sustained themselves in spite of the growing concerns over head injuries and concussions. I'm optimistic about the future of the game itself. I think when I think of the strides we've made in the last decade in terms of our safe contact, our education of coaches, and you know, making sure that we just change even the language that we use with the game. You don't hear many coaches looking for snot bubbles or knocking somebody's head off anymore. We've changed the language of the game, and I think, and I know that it's been safer. I ran our numbers last year, and one of the interesting things is we had 20,000 athletic exposures in our tackle football league last year between our academies and our six-a-side tackle football and all that sort of stuff. So that means 20,000 times a kid played or practiced throughout the city last year. We only had, and we have physiotherapists at all of our games, we only had assessed 14 head injuries. And that doesn't even mean that those were diagnosed as concussions. It just means that we pulled out the standard concussion assessment test, and we used that, and that was in our documents. And it was only 14 times out of 20,000 exposures. So I'm happy with the way things are progressing. And I'm just glad that we're taking on the problem, head on, if you will. And really focusing on making the game safer and not denying that, that the game is fine the way it is.
Boy, we got a well-spoken guest here, thoughtful, passionate guest, and Brian Giebert from Saskatoon Minor Football. Okay, so I'm a parent, and I do have a kid actually playing high school football, but I'm a parent, okay? And I'm coming to you, and I'm saying, I'm a little concerned about Mike. He's a good athlete, but I'm a little concerned about him playing football. Just tell me, why shouldn't I be as concerned? Why should I let him play?
You know what, I think the benefits of playing football outweigh the costs. And I mean, yes, there's a risk in everything that we do in life, and playing football, there's obviously risk of injury, but I know that the coaches, especially in this province, are educated, they're passionate, and they're not going to put anybody in harm's way. You know, we're fortunate to have such good coaches in this province that they're looking at the latest and greatest techniques. They're putting the kid first when it comes to football. And it's easy to remember that we're still dealing with amateur athletes at the minor and amateur level from university down in this province. And it's about what's best for the kid and not the entertainment value that we put on professional athletes, right? We're looking at developing that kid, developing, like I said, those virtues of the game, hard work, discipline, communication, working with others, dealing with adversity, all those sorts of things. Those are things that are going to serve people long into life, make them leaders in our community. And, we're going to make sure that kids, have good return to play guidelines and that they're in a good place, when and if they do get injured. We hope that never happens, but we're going to make sure that there's the proper guidelines in place to take care of them.
And I talked to this guy a couple of weeks ago, David Dubé, of course, a big-time backer with the Huskies for a number of years. He helped out by getting those remote control tackling dummies. Have you had a chance to use them yet? I know he wanted Saskatoon Minor Football to be a willing participant in this.
Yeah, we're super fortunate to have one of those. It's another tool, another innovation that's making the game even better for us to work with kids and adults. We were using it with the Saskatoon Hilltops and Valkyries just a few weeks ago, and I'm really looking forward to using it when we're planning safe contact, teaching kids angle tackling, knocking a guy out of bounds. Those things can really move. So it's gonna take some getting used to, make sure that we gauge the speed to the appropriateness of the kids. But I'm even excited to strap some flags on our tackling dummy, our MVP there, and have him drive around the field and have the kids try and flag the dummy as he drives around the field. So we're super fortunate to have a guy like Dave Dubé that's such an innovator in the game of football and such a supportive at all levels. And I'm really looking forward to the spring and how we can use that thing.
Okay, before we let you go, Brian Giebert, talk about some of the, I had Josh Donnelly on earlier, great quarterback from the Loboldus Golden Suns, arguably the number one recruit in terms of quarterbacking coming out of this province this year in this graduating class. But let's talk a little bit about some of the Northern Stars, some of the guys that should be on our radar coming out of high school that are right now in the thick of their season.
Yeah, I'm going to go right to the position of quarterback, too. He's had an interesting path to get to where he was. He was a backup even last year at Holy Cross, but he's been behind Donnelly on Team Saskatchewan the last 2 years, and that's Matthew Wilson. I've seen this kid grow up the last 2 years, and I would argue to say that he's in the top five quarterbacks in the country, maybe overshadowed a little bit by Donnelly down in Regina there. But I would even say he might be number two or even arguably compete with Donnelly at number one in the country in terms of quarterback, because this guy's a dual threat. He can run. He can throw. He's got great leadership. And, he's really grown into his body. He's also an accomplished javelin thrower, so he's got a big arm. He runs really well. He just unfortunately broke his collarbone at the Canada Cup this year in that first game against New Brunswick. So we haven't seen a lot of him. So he might be the best-kept secret in Canada right now. And, Holy Cross is rolling along in Saskatoon here. And I think Matt Wilson's going to be a real pleasure for somebody to recruit.
That's an awesome little nugget there, Brian. Maybe a couple of other guys you can put on our radar here so we can follow along.
Absolutely. A couple of running backs. St. Joseph has Keegan White, who's been tearing it up. Carter McLean at Evan Hardy. Again, he was 3 days too old to make it on Team Saskatchewan, just unfortunate December birthday. But Carter's got great hands, great speed, great vision, and he's been propelled the Souls to a 3-1 record in Saskatoon. And one other guy, he's only in 11th grade, but he's 6'2", 220 pounds out of North Battleford, and that's JT Lamb. He's just running roughshod over everybody right now. So running back's looking pretty good. A couple 6'3" receivers, Adam LaBrash out of Walter Murray and Noah Monk out of BJM look real good. On defense, Dan Okpoko, he's already committed verbally to University of North Dakota, but he's 6'4", 250, and he was in the 100-meter final here in Saskatoon at the City Track Championships. So the guy's big and he can move, and you know, he's just all potential right now. And then linebacker, I think Coley Cross has two of the best. Carson Schrader and Ramsey Dervis are just outstanding the way they track the field and their great range and ability. So there's a lot of wealth of talent up here in Saskatoon this year, and I've been fortunate to cover a bit of it, and it's awesome to see all the talent that comes out of Saskatchewan.
Well, you're a great contact to have, man. That's some nice little nuggets here you're passing along to the listeners here of the Growing the Game podcast. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question to wrap things up. We talk about your playing career, Huskies, Hilltops, a bit with the Blue Bombers. Don't take this as a shot, but you're on the ground floor with these young guys and seeing them develop. Would Brian Giebert have a tough time making it nowadays?
I say that all the time. It's unbelievable the way that kids nowadays are committing to strength and conditioning. And, yeah, I think I would. I mean, I came out, I was undersized when I came out. A lot of people didn't give me a shot, only being 5'9". But, man, the kids that are coming out now, they're more prepared than ever. And, again, credit goes to the coaches across this province, whether it's 6-man, 9-man, 12-man. We have fantastic coaches in this province. And they're just churning out better and better talent year after year. And, you know, the sky's the limit for what's possible here in Saskatchewan.
That's Brian Giebert from Saskatoon Minor Football, and this is Growing the Game. One of the greatest riders of all time, Joey Walters, joins us. Really looking forward to doing this interview for quite some time, Joey. So first off, it's called Where Are They Now? Where are you now? What are you doing these days, Joey?
Michael, I am in Orlando, Florida, and have been here since 1985. I'm working with a group called Florida Citrus Sports, and basically what we do is bring sporting entertainment to the city of Orlando. We're responsible for the Capital One Bowl and now the new Russell Athletic Bowl.
Well, that's outstanding. That's some great work. Sounds like you're a natural fit for that. Of course, you wrapped up your USFL career in Orlando, and we'll talk about maybe a bit about that in a second. Let's talk now. So we've scouted Joey Walters and what he's doing now. If Joey Walters was playing today, take your skills from yesteryear. If I was a scout scouting Joey Walters, what would you say about Joey Walters, and what do you got to look for in the receiver Joey Walters?
Michael, I tell you what I would say is that the type of athlete he was in terms of him playing was an all-around type of athlete. Catching the football was something that he loved and enjoyed doing, and took it very personal. But also being a team player, blocking for my teammates, whether or not I caught the football or not, it didn't matter if I can make a block or you know, make some other type of play to be able to assist our team to win. Then at the end of the day, that was all about. And you know, that's what I would say that Joey Walters was, and that's the kind of athlete I would look for today.
Joey Walters came to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in 1977, played I think 4 games there, then came to Saskatchewan. Your career in Saskatchewan didn't get off to the start that maybe you wanted to, judging by some of the stuff I saw in the research. 78-80 kind of was injury plagued, but that one year I saw, 1979, and I was about 7 years old, and I really got into football watching, I'm not going to lie. I think that year I saw you had, like, you played in 6 games and you had 772 yards receiving. If you put that over a full schedule now, an 18-game schedule in the league we play now, that'd be 2,300 yards. What do you remember about the early days with the Rough Riders?
Well, I tell you, it was kind of frustrating, Michael, from the standpoint of I did have a couple of injuries during that time. Basically, a big injury was I had a thigh injury where I caught a thigh injury in practice, and it really lingered over a two-year period, maybe a two-and-a-half-year period, where I only could play only a few games each one of those years. But got a very special blessing where things managed to heal and mend, and was able to continue my career on a full basis, like I said, after 1979, and was able to play full games and was able to, you know, accomplish some things up there along with my teammates that helped me in order to do that.
Let me ask you something here, and don't take this as a shot, because you know I have a lot of respect for you, and I'll tell you how in a minute. But you think it helped? You know, football is kind of a cutthroat business, and I imagine it was like that back then. You came to a Rough Rider team that, let's say, had just gone through the Ron Lancaster years and was kind of struggling. Do you think if you would have stayed in Winnipeg, where along was coming the James Murphys and the Joe Poplawskis and those kind of guys of the world, if you would have been on Winnipeg's roster and had that injury, you might not have stuck around, but with the Riders, you were given a little more leeway to recover from that injury?
Well, you don't know, because like I'm saying now, Michael, basically what did take place wasn't the fact that I was out the entire time.
Right.
I was able to play a couple of games here and a couple of games there. So therefore, each time I did come back, you know, we thought, and when I speak of we, I'm talking about the Riders and as well as their medical staff, thought, okay, everything was fine and I can go on and continue to play. But I would play two or three games, and then the injury would reoccur once again.
Yeah.
So, you know, so being able to play some games in between those injuries, I think definitely what kept me long there until the fact that I was able to totally get over the injury situation.
Hey, Joey, what were your impressions of Regina when you got here in the fan base here, Saskatchewan fans, Rider Nation, as we like to call them?
I tell you, there's no other place like it. The fans have been fantastic, and I'm pretty sure they're the same way now. And that's one of the biggest things, Michael, that I remember about Regina, is being able to associate with the fans and have the fans be there for us. And, you know, we went through some rough times when I was there, but the fan base stuck with us through thick and thin. And you know, as a player, I know, you know, I really appreciated that. And you know, they gave me much love, and hopefully I was able to give them something back with my play on the field.
They still talk about you. Of course, you went into the Plaza of Honor back in, I believe it was 1990. What was that night like for you, kind of culminating your time here in Saskatchewan?
Most rewarding, you know, any time that you're able to be able to receive an award, and especially an award like that, then you're really gratifying. And that, being able to be inducted into the Plaza, was a great moment for me. At the time, my mom was able to come up there and share that moment with me, so that made it even that much more special.
We talked about your scouting report as a player. What was your strongest suit, your hands? I remember that one-handed catch you made. I think it was against the BC Lions. Rob Vanstone of the Leader Post has a picture of that. That was an unbelievable moment for me as a fan watching. Any game or moment stick out for you on the field?
I tell you, Rob, just being able to catch the football and go after it. I mean, I had that attitude that, you know, all you could do is take me off the field one time. If the ball is thrown in my direction, then it's my ball, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to try to get that ball. And I think having that type of attitude, at least it worked for me in terms of trying to, you know, make some of the catches that I was able to make and do some of the things that I was able to do. But, you know, it's a team game, because if the line didn't block, if the running backs didn't block, if the quarterback didn't get the ball out there in time, then I wouldn't be able to do what I do. So I take it all to the team sport, and I give a lot of praise to my teammates at that time.
In 1981 and 1982, you were named All-Star in the Canadian Football League in the Western Conference. But in 81 was a chance where the Rough Riders had gone through some tough times and a chance to make the playoffs with Joe Farigelli as the coach. Vince Goldsmith was on the team. I remember I was dressed up, believe it or not, as Greg Feger go figure. And I was Halloweening around the neighborhood because my two favorite riders were Greg Feger and Joey Walters, and I could only get a number two jersey. I remember it was Empire Stadium. It was raining there, and every house I went to get my treats, I was asking what the score was, trying to check the score, and you guys came up just short and missed out on the playoffs. Do you remember that game and that season? Because it was a pretty good season.
Very vividly, Michael. I do remember it, and you know, like you said, it was a really good season, and we were playing some good football at a time, and you know, it looks like we were getting ready to try to turn that corner and do some very special things, and it's unfortunate that we did come up a little bit short during that year, but that was a really rewarding year after going through some really tough times that we went to in prior years before that.
What do you think the problem was here? Why did the Riders, I know you were only here for a spell, but we had some tough times before you got here and some tough times after you left. What did you think was the, we have such a great fan base, it's a great place to play. Why did you think then the Riders struggled so much?
Well, I mean, you know, we probably just didn't have the athletes that maybe some of the other teams had. You know, I mean, it was a learning process for us. We maybe had a lot of younger athletes on our team than most of the league, excuse me, had a lot of veterans on their teams, and obviously had a lot of good players. So you know, that's the big key. You got to have the players, and you got to have the maturity level along with the players in order to produce a pretty good football team, and we were a growing team. We were a struggling team, but we were striving and trying to, you know, get where we needed to be, that we could be one of the elite teams in the league.
This is Joey Walters with us on the Where Are They Now segment. Joey, do you stay in touch with any of the guys that you played with on the Riders from, 77 all the way through 82?
I do very seldom. There's not a lot of them, obviously, you know, down here in the Orlando area, but I do get a chance to talk to a few that I know up there. Matter of fact, I was with Lester Brown, who was one of the running backs up there a few weeks ago. I talked to Kenny Times. He was up there one time.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a few that I do keep in contact with from time to time, and we do get a chance to talk and visit for a little bit.
Hey, with your work in organizing bowl games and stuff, I don't know if you get to interact with college athletes, but if you had a chance, would you kind of push in the CFL way? Because a lot of guys down south probably don't know a lot about the Canadian Football League. Maybe they're knowing more now with the internet, but I'm sure you'd be a guy that might extol the virtues of our three-down game.
I definitely would do so. You know, having spent 6 years in the CFL, I would definitely recommend that to players down here, because you're 100% correct. They don't know a lot about the Canadian Football League up there. But any time that I get, I am definitely a praiser of the CFL and telling players they need to give that a chance. If this opportunity presents itself, then you need to go, because there's a good brand of football up there. You got a really good fan base. And they would definitely enjoy the game.
1982, you leave and you go to join the, after the 82 season, to join the USFL, the fledgling professional football league headed up by Mr. Donald Trump. What was that experience like with Washington and then Orlando?
Well, it was a good experience. You know, I mean, it was really sad that I had to leave Orlando. I mean, that I had to leave Saskatchewan. Did not really want to go, but obviously, that opportunity presented itself, and I took it and tried to make the best of it. But it was a good league. The league lasted for 3 years. Unfortunately, that the league did fold after 1985. But you'll find, and if you research that, and you probably have already, Michael, there are a lot of players that played in USFL that went to the National Football League and became big stars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, you can go by the names of the Herschel Walkers and the Kelvin Bryants and
Jim Kelly's one, Steve Young, Reggie White.
A number of Doug Williams, you know, and a number of the athletes who played in the USFL went to the NFL and had very good careers. So the talent level there was really good. We were getting, you know, the Craig James, and you know, you just go on and on and on. in terms of names that came through the USFL that went to the NFL and had a successful career.
You know, you were right in the area in the CFL where wages weren't that much different than the NFL for star players, I guess. But on average, the wages weren't that much different. But was it just too much money to pass up when you left to the USFL and being a United States kid to just go back and play closer to home for way more money than you were making here?
It really wasn't, Michael, to be honest with you, to tell you the truth. You know, it really came down to I was asking the team just to pay me in American funds, you know, so I wouldn't lose my turnover rate,
yeah.
My changeover rate in terms of the money.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't a matter of being a big number. It was just that I didn't want to lose the changeover rate when changing my money over from Canadian money to American money.
Okay, so let me ask you this. When the league folded, you still had some gas left in the tank, some tread on the tires. Did you ever think about coming back to the Canadian Football League? I know you were a replacement player in the 87 season in the NFL with Houston, but did you ever think about coming back to Saskatchewan or the CFL?
No, not at that time. You know, I mean, when I went down to Houston and I got an opportunity to finish up the year down there, and after the strike was over, they kept me around on their team, so I got the chance to play the entire year with them once the strike was over. But after that, you know what I mean, I had a pretty good job. The job that I was at gave me the opportunity to be able to leave and go and come back, you know, after it was over with. I decided, well, okay, maybe I need to hang up the cleats now and move on to a new adventure.
Coaching was never part of your thought process after the playing career was done?
It really wasn't, Michael. Like I'm saying now, I was fortunate enough to get with an organization that kept me in the sporting area, in the sporting arena. And, you know, one thing we do even doing the bowl games down here, I do deal with colleges as well as the NFL, because we do NFL preseason games and all those type of things. So it definitely kept me in the sports arena. And doing that, I was pretty happy.
What do you think about the talk, and you're a great guy to ask here with your present situation, about college athletes, and in particular football guys, because it's a big business, getting paid. College athletes getting paid for what they do, because I know there's a debate on either side. Where do you sit?
Well, you know, it eventually may come down to that, Mike. The only thing is that you got to make it fair. And you know, your smaller schools, your smaller colleges that don't have the funds, you know, that the bigger schools have, then they would never get any of the athletes. Now, not to say that they get your blue chipper athletes now, but still yet, that would even put them in a least place in terms of getting some type of top quality athlete if it got to the situation where you could pay the athletes. Now, if they did a situation maybe where, you know, it's fair across the board, you only can do X amount, then, you know, then that might would work, especially if you could keep those smaller schools could be able to, you know, to afford paying the players those type of fun.
Okay, lastly, my last question for you. I was recently emceeing a dinner for the Holy Cross Church here, and they had a silent auction item, and I picked myself up your rookie card in the USFL with the Washington squad there, and I showed it to my son. And I got it for him. It's in a case. It's awesome. I have to try to get it down to you for an autograph, so I'm going to have to do it. But here's the thing. Do you have any memorabilia, any cool stuff you saved over your college career with Clemson or obviously your Rough Rider career, USFL, the 1 year in the NFL?
I do. I mean, I probably have I definitely have some CFL cards of mine, as well as some CFL cards of a lot of my teammates back then, because they did make some CFL cards, and I did get one for each one of my teammates back then, Lyle Lewinsky and Ken McCracken, and I mean Roger Aldag, and I mean you just go through the list of players that I do have cards from, and like I said, it's quite a few. From my Clemson days, I definitely have some. I got a Saskatchewan Rough Rider helmet, matter of fact, that I have in my trophy case. But keeping that memorabilia and being able to have those type of memories of a place that you've been is very special, and I know personally for me it goes a long way.
Yeah, my two memories, just to wrap up, your one-handed catch here at Taylor Field and Chris DeFrance running 100 yards in Edmonton with his helmet off when it got knocked off and he continued to run down the field and score a touchdown. I don't know if you remember that play, but those are the two ones that stick out watching in what were some pretty bad seasons for Rough Rider football, but you two guys, especially you, made it enjoyable. I got about 20 seconds left. Is a lot of Rider fans listening. This will be on the pregame show. Anything Joey Walters would like to see or say to Rough Rider Nation, because I know they're listening, and you're one of the beloved guys here in the Plaza of Honor.
Definitely, Michael, and I thank you. I just like to thank the Rough Riders fans for giving me 6 great years in Regina and allowing me to be a part of them, not only as a team, but also as a family member, and I thank them so much.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.